Podcast Fresh.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Podcast Fresh Cafe. This is episode number 83, and I am your host, Ryan, aka Acapella. Mello, that is my last name. Joined as always by my co-host Chris Torres. Chris, say hi.
What's up, everybody? Good to be on board. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm good, man. Yourself?
Good. Good, good. Can't complain.
Good, good. Had a good day? Everybody was good?
Fuck my day. What are you talking about my day? The people are not here for the day. They're here for the content.
Fuck my day for
real. Pertinent to this podcast that we do, I've been playing Resident Evil 7.
Hold on a second. What?
The only reason...
What word was that? Say it again.
Pertinent.
Give me a definition of pertinent.
Specific to one's topic.
Okay.
Or to the subject.
Okay. I'm not calling you out. I am just that. I
believe that's what it means.
I didn't know that word, but okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, like if you're collecting DNA evidence for a case or something like that, but it's the wrong case or the evidence is weak, your captain might say that, is this evidence pertinent to this case?
Is this like a branch off word to pertaining?
Probably.
Okay. I think I just solved it. I solved the puzzle. There you go. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry. Jesus Christ. Is this real life?
It is.
So I downloaded, I didn't realize this, but Resident Evil 7 was actually like a freebie game like several months back. I can't remember when.
Oh, yeah. On Plus, right?
Yeah. I guess it must have been part of the original, those 15 free games or 20 free games that came with the PlayStation 5, but mm-hmm. I completely missed it. And then for some reason it hit me like, wait a minute, isn't that game as part of one of the free ones? And I checked and it was. I was like, oh, damn.
Oh, that's sick.
So I downloaded it and started playing it. And without exaggeration, within less than 60 seconds, I was already having a better time with that game than in all of the 21 hours of Resident Evil 6.
Oh, no.
Just incredible. In terms of like setting the mood and everything else, it's been so good. Just started playing it last night. I just got a couple hours in before I went to bed. But so far, so good. It's I'm very impressed. And it's definitely a nice little bounce back from Resident Evil 6.
That's really good. Yeah. I mean, you had to get over that hump with 6 for sure. 6 is widely regarded as like a bad game at that point, or at least a bad Resident Evil game. Right.
Yeah. I think it's like if Resident Evil 6 had come out like 20 years ago or 25 years ago, mm-hmm. like it would have been fine. It's kind of got that goofy sort of House of the Dead, you know what I mean? Time Crisis kind of arcadey nonsense.
Right.
With unlockables and things like that. Like I said, it was never a boring game, but my God, it just wasn't the Resident Evil game at all, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It would be like watching the Street Fighter characters in like a kart racing game.
I'm pretty sure there's a mod for that.
Or Sub-Zero in a side-scrolling game. Who said that?
Oh, jeez, that fucking
said that?
Can't believe that game. I got that game for Christmas, and that was...
I bet it's a sad story.
It is. It's like,
I bet that's all you asked for like 2 months, and it finally came, you're like, Jesus.
Okay, no, I won't say that, but I wanted two games. The other game was like a good game. I forgot what it was, but I remember specifically the Sub-Zero game that came, because it was more because of word of mouth, because, you know, I always talk about like my uncle and like how he introduced me to a lot of things. Mortal Kombat was one of his things, and it was like...
Gran Turismo, bro.
And it was like sick, like... Whatever, and I had Mortal Kombat 4 already, or was it 4? No, or was it the
4 had all the characters in it?
No, I think I had Mortal Kombat Trilogy, so I would play the three games on that cart or whatever, and then I liked Mortal Kombat, but then I was like, cool, like I learned about this Sub-Zero game, so I was like, I think my aunt got it for me. I was asking for the Sub-Zero game because I was like, okay, it's Mortal Kombat, it has to be good. And then I heard it was side-scroller. The way it was described to me is like it plays like Mario, and I like Mario, so I'm like, okay, sick. And then you play it, and it doesn't play like Mario. It plays horribly. It's like the worst game ever. It's literally Mortal Kombat if it was a platformer. That's literally what it is. They didn't change mechanics. It is, let's make it a platformer right now. And that's what it was. And it was god-awful. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't bad that it was a side-scroller. I thought the idea was really cool.
Like, no, the idea is good. It's just...
I love to see, like, Ryu and Ken and a Street Fighter sort of meets, like, a Double Dragon game where they both come kicking out of the fucking garage doing something cool. It looked nice. It had those sort of, you know, image graphics where, like, they record the person, the whatever those kind of graphics are called. Thing. Yeah. Like, it looked cool, right? I didn't buy it, but I did rent it during its day. On the N64, and I just remember it's one of those things where, man, like, you know, pops would get you a rental every now and then on the weekend, right? And this is like before I started like working my part-time jobs, making my own money and stuff, right? So at best you'd look forward to like just getting I remember every time I was at Blockbuster, the brand new games, you can only get them for like two nights. It had like a green label on it.
Oh shit. Yeah.
And then or you can opt for a slightly older game and you get it for like three nights or seven nights, right? So it's always one of those. But I rented the game, and man, within about 5 minutes, I realized like, okay, it's going to be one of these experiences.
It honestly is like that Batman game on Super Nintendo. It's the same thing.
Which I also fell
it's
for.
It's the same thing.
Not on Nintendo. I'm talking about, I think Batman Forever, another side-scrolling one, right? On the SNES?
Yeah, Super Nintendo, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's the one.
That was like the same shit, except N64. It's, I don't know. It looked muggy. It was, like you said, I'm down for the idea. That's cool. But like, you have to tweak so much mechanically to make that work. And they didn't. Yeah. They were just like, yo, throw some platforms in this bitch.
And that was it. And what made the game horrible, we're going back to Mortal Kombat Mythology Sub-Zero, is that just the physics were horrible.
Yeah.
The physics were horrible. You're side-scrolling, and then there's those areas of the game where those spinning fans where you have to land it perfectly, and it's just brutal. But cool idea. But anyway, I don't know how we got on that side tangent, but you get it.
They should revisit that idea.
Yeah.
Maybe. Imagine with today's graphics, though. That could be cool. Like, make it a budget game. Make it a budget game, $60, whatever, $50, and like... Maybe don't make it so realistic, but like, I honestly think they could do it. Kind of like what Prince of Persia did. Like, Prince of Persia, that new side-scrolling one is like a hit, but it looks nowhere near like the main ones, right? Like, that'd be cool. I think it'd be cool.
Yeah. So there's that. But what the hell are we talking about before we went off on that side?
I think that was our first. Actually, I don't know. Anyway.
We were talking about Resident Evil 7, so anyway, I'm playing
that. So you're playing that. Cool.
The only reason I brought it up in the intro is just because of the contrast with 6 was so much. It was pretty crazy, actually.
You're just over it.
It's so good, but now I'm in heaven.
You know what's crazy?
So,
that's cool. So you're playing Resident Evil 7, and usually we have a segment where we talk about what we're playing. So we'll just get out of the way. It's funny that we brought up Mortal Kombat, because that's what I just finished playing. The new Mortal Kombat.
You finished playing it?
Yeah, I finished it.
Nice.
Played the campaign through. The story is a bunch of nonsense. It's...
Yeah, it's goo.
It is just in the beginning, I tried to watch every cutscene and like just absorb it, try to get a good hang of it, because I'm kind of loosely familiar with it. But it got to a part where I'm like, yo, just skip it. Let me fight, because fighting is super fun. I think the mechanics in the game. It's if you played Mortal Kombat 11, not much has changed, but again, it's different enough where it's like, okay, I accept it as like the next game in the series, right? Mm-hmm. The new mechanic they have that they love to advertise is the fact that you could pick a partner and they come in and do a tag team move with you. Even when you do your double trigger move where you do like a crazy non-fatality, even though any of that would kill someone, they come in and do their own thing as well before you do. It's really cool. The gameplay loop, like the actual fighting is fun. I had a lot more fun with this than Street Fighter 6, I'll be honest. But I've always been more of a Mortal Kombat guy, so I feel like I'm always gonna have that bias. Because I think realistically Street Fighter might be more popular in terms of fighting and its mechanics, but whatever. I gravitate more towards Mortal Kombat. But then by the end of it, like, the story is like, what in the hell are we doing? It's like a multiverse thing again, which is just so played out. But anyway.
Yeah.
But they're combining people like what's a good one, like sub Kung Lao, and it's like a mix of Sub-Zero and Kung Lao, and it's like he's throwing frozen discs. It was a cool idea, and the designs were like, holy shit, this is insane,
right?
But the whole point is like the guy opened up a realm and it was making these monstrosities of people that were combining together. It was actually kind of
cool. That's awesome.
That was the coolest idea I saw. But
yeah,
by the end of it, you're like, what? This is like, this is cool, but it's fine. Yeah, but I beat the campaign. That was cool. Then I played a little bit more of it, did some towers. Within 3 days, I was pretty much...
That's pretty sweet.
I thought I exhausted everything with it.
A lot of things to unlock?
It's kind of like a gacha system where you can unlock new new outfits, new masks.
Okay.
Like Scorpion, I unlocked a new Scorpion mask where it's like black instead of yellow. Stuff like that. What else? There's like a loot system, kind of. Like, I don't think you need to... You don't pay real money for it, but like the whole point of the game is like the more you play, the more random things you unlock. And I guess the whole point is to like try to get everything. I will say the amount of characters that are locked between a paywall, behind a paywall, though, is pretty shitty. Like even support characters you have to buy, like characters that you're not even going to control, you have to buy. And they're like $6.99 each.
Right.
Which is just crazy. And then, of course, you have your main characters like... Omni-Man, Peacemaker is going to be there soon. The other guy from that other show, Homelander. Like, they're available to buy, or they will be available to buy. It's just, damn, how much are you going to really want to spend on this? Like, I'm better off trading in this copy of Mortal Kombat 1 now, and then ultimately getting the complete edition that'll come down the road, for sure. And it happens all the time. Right? Mm-hmm. But overall, good game. I feel like... I don't feel like it's worth the $89.99 if you're in Canada. Like, I really don't. I myself got it for $60, which I think is good. So if you can get it for a price like that, I think it's worth it. But if paying full price for this, unless you're going to go online and be hardcore about it, I don't see the value in that. Just saying. But I had a fun time with it. Thought it was a good game.
Wow. But not good replayability. That's interesting.
I mean, it's just how much...
I would argue that makes it a bad game.
Maybe. But it's just how much you're going to do. Like, the story took me 3 to 4 hours, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe it'll stretch if you actually watch the cutscenes, but then I just started skipping all of them.
I think as a one-player experience, though...
it's not great.
You're right. It does have a ceiling if you're not going to go online, obviously.
100%. And online is just something I don't really care to do. So...
Right. You'll win a couple matches and then get smoked out.
And then you get smoked.
Dude, there's just animals on there.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. I recommend, like, if you have a group of friends... And you guys are all going to play this, and you guys are going to like have tournaments and all that shit. That's good.
Right.
Do that. That's fine. But if you're a single player guy and you're just playing this for a story, and then once you're done with it, it's kind of done with you too, then wait for a price drop, 100%.
There you go. Yeah. That's cool. Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat. All right. Now that we got that out of the way, Chris, throw out the plugs and we'll jump into the mailbag.
Yeah, we're at Podcast Fresh on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, as well as check us out on Twitter at Podcast Fresh TO. And check out the rest of the shows at Podcast Fresh Network. We've got the Podcast Fresh Cafe, the Torres and Acapella Show, the Espresso Shot, where we take a look back at either an old episode or just an old clip or something that was funny. There'll be more of those coming, or some interesting conversation. And then, of course, we have the Gaming Asylum with Ryan Mello as well. Mm-hmm. So check all those out. Go to Podcast Fresh on Instagram, and the rest of the links are going to be in the bio.
Yeah, should be a new episode soon of the Gaming Asylum Radio. Working on it. All right. Number one, Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League turned out to be a huge disaster. Are you guys still interested in picking this up? Scott, Nova Scotia. Yeah, that turned out to be a complete dumpster fire. I've seen scores as low as like 3 out of 10. it's turned out to not be what people wanted. You know, I had like low key, not high hopes for this game, but I really wish the rumors weren't true as to what this game was trying to do. And at some point in the marketing, they tried to pivot and like show you single player cutscenes and like how good they looked. And like they tried to like kind of spin it into something it wasn't. And that was like nice to see and like maybe like believe. But at the same time, once it came out and everyone, you know, there was the signs were there. Like they didn't give review copies until the game was actually out. Like it was wasn't a good turnout. And, you know, now it's just scrutiny after scrutiny with this game. Like nothing good has been said about it except maybe how good those cutscenes look, but other than that, it's like everyone plays the same, everyone, you know, the upgrades are meaningless, the the paywall shit is insane. The redundantness of it, like, just, it's tedious as hell. And I've seen so many clips. And then the whole Batman thing that happened, I don't know if you know about this, but the way, like, it's not a spoiler. The game is called Kill the Justice League. But when you kill Batman, it's kind of like the most, you know, just boringest way to go. Like, a straight bullet to the head. And, like, people didn't like that, especially because Kevin Conroy just passed away. But besides that, it's just, I don't know. This game could have been so much more. And obviously, the problem with this was that Rocksteady started this game like 7 years ago, where this kind of stuff, this genre was getting big and people saw money in it and all that. So, yeah, I kind of missed the mark. And now, I don't know, this begs the question, what's next for this company that made like three of the best Batman games ever? I don't know. I have no idea. Chris, your thoughts?
Yeah, same thing. I think you nailed most of the points there. Although I would disagree with one thing. I think this game came out exactly how people thought it would, not unlike what they would thought. I think there was disaster written all over this in the beginning, especially when they first popped their head. It was early, like last spring, I want to say, before it was delayed by a year, right?
Yeah.
And we had already seen issues there with some of the gameplay and things like that. And then they had like a state of play kind of thing a little bit later, and that's when they decided to pull the plug. People were just not interested in the gun shooting mechanics and the paywall system and things like that. And, you know, I saw this thing on IGN yesterday and it was kind of like, maybe it'll be the death of the looter shooter, you know. But with something like this, it's hard to go against the grain when the consensus has been that this is not going to be a good game from the beginning. And they did have a chance to delay it by a year, go back into the locker room and try to fix things up. But like we were coming to find out, is the game was pretty much done. You know, it wasn't like it was still in production and things like that. And it was pulled for a year. And I wonder how much of that was just to sort of, not so much work on it, but also just sort of shrug off some of the stink and release some previews and maybe some kind of a demo or whatever to get people excited again. But it obviously didn't work. And, you know, you see it now. The biggest compliment that the game gets is that it's beautiful and it's got great cutscenes. But on the negative, it's very repetitive. Like you said, the gunplay is kind of boring and, you know, everything else that goes with it. Kevin Conroy, you know, Batman getting killed with a shot to the head. I mean, I don't draw the parallel. I think Kevin Conroy was honored to voice Batman, and he's done a lot where Batman's getting his ass kicked, right? But I think the unfortunate coincidence is you're killing out the Batman character, and it's Conroy's last performance with the character, at least in a video game, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a bit of that, but... Yeah, I mean, it is too bad. It is too bad. No, I won't be checking it out. I was always a maybe on checking it out. But yeah, no, Kill the Justice League. And what happens to a developer? I mean, you know, 12, 13 years, 14, 15. How long has it been since they dropped that first game, the Arkham Asylum? 2005, 2006, right?
Close to 20.
So just like anything else, things change over 15, 16 years. I'm sure it's not, you know, those same exact people from that team. But I think it's more the team being held to a certain level of, you know, quality in their work. And I think that's more important than anything else. And I think that's why there's a little bit of blowback, but it's too bad. And again, following this, I think this will become an interesting bookmark in the history of video gaming, in the sense that I really feel that now when a developer comes along and they're like, we're going to do this with this franchise or that franchise or anything like that, right? They're going to think twice because they're going to see this example. They're going to see what happened here. They're going to see sort of the path that this game took, and they're going to do things to sort of prevent that from happening to their product, or stop them from even proceeding with moving on with a you know, intellectual property like that, and deciding, you know what, we're not going to go down that route. We're not going to spend the money to create this thing. Because these are brand name things, you know what I mean? There's always been that argument of, you know, we're not getting enough original IPs. It's all copyrighted stuff. It's all stuff with labels on and things like that. And now I feel like there's been a shift where just because the package has Iron Man on it as an example, we're not going to bite on it right away until we see some kind of proof that it's working, right? I said the same thing, maybe the last cafe or the one before that, with the Wolverine game. Okay, that's great. It leaked and you saw a little bit of it. But I don't sense this great, like, oh, we're thirsting for that Wolverine game, right? Now, once the Deadpool movie comes out, all bets are off and Wolverine could be the hottest character come Halloween and all the kids are dressed up as him and everything like that. That could totally happen, especially with the X-Men movies and all that stuff that they're working on. It could all, I mean, this is all done, it's all according to plan, you know what I mean? These things are all, aren't all happening coincidentally.
Sure.
So I think he's on the up and up, but again, with something like this, I feel like it's going to be a turning point and I think more developers will be careful when they try to release something like that.
Hitting that Wolverine stuff real quick, we saw that in the Insomniac leak, they have a lot of X-Men stuff planned along with their Spider-Man stuff.
Right.
And that movie, that Deadpool movie, has to be like the Kickstarter to all that stuff coming out. Because I think they're going to push Wolverine back into the limelight and the X-Men. And not to mention, the X-Men are probably at some point going to be introduced in the movies as well. Like, it's all, you know, it's all a coincidence, or not a coincidence, like you're saying. It's all, you know, they already have a contract with Disney and Marvel. They know that they have to, like, kind of coincide with what they're doing. That Deadpool trailer was good. I don't know if you saw it. I liked it a lot. It was cool. You didn't really, they did it right where they didn't really show anything crazy. Like, they actually withheld a lot, which is good. You don't see that too much nowadays. Yeah, but anyway, given what you said, you put that very nice. I also feel like this is just a repeat offense, though, because we had the Avengers game, which did the same shit and fell victim to the same fate, because you see, like you say, you see Iron Man, you see Captain America, you're expecting something good. And then it turns out to be not so good. And, you know, your safe bet has now become a disaster, because when you go through, when you pick IPs that have been around forever, that's a safe bet. You know, people are going to look at it. That's why original IPs are such a gamble these days, especially because video game budgets are so high that you can't afford a failure. So it's like, go with the safe thing. But when you have a catastrophe like Avengers, where Crystal Dynamics then got sold off, and now who the hell knows what's happening with them? And then now this Suicide Squad stuff is happening. Like, it just sucks because, yeah, like you said, Rocksteady is held in high regard. They made, you know, some of the most iconic superhero games ever. And it sucks even harder that this game is supposedly in the same universe. So that's dumb. But yeah, I don't know. I hope they don't close down. I hope they can make some kind of, you know, new game, whether it's Batman or whatever, and just kind of bounce back. Because I did hear people from that studio kind of effed off and decided to start their own thing. So I think that spells a little bit of the writing on the wall there. But yeah, we'll see, man. Am I going to check this out? I don't think so. When I start hearing that Gotham Knights is better than this, that's a big problem, because I couldn't stand that game.
Really? Yeah. You didn't finish that one, eh? Gotham Knights?
Dude, I played about 3 hours and I was like, I'm over this. This is the same thing, but if it was a single player game where it was
right.
Like, can we do something else? Like, I don't know. Anyway. So yeah, Scott, we will not be checking this out. With an increase in digital and streaming media, one can see the benefits and convenience of owning digital content. However, the definition of owning seems to be getting hazier and hazier these days. Recently, with Crunchyroll's acquisition of Funimation, owners of digital media on Funimation have been told that they will no longer have access to their digital copies of shows and movies, even though they've paid for it. Could you see this negatively affecting the consumer's perception of digital ownership? Matt from Ohio, that's a really good question. Chris, I'll let you handle this first.
I think there's definitely an increase in sort of unhappiness with digital media when it comes to exactly when you own something and when you don't own something. You know, like if you own a DVD, it's yours for as long as you have it physically. Mm-hmm. DVDs do deteriorate, but other than that, that physical media is yours, right? It can last you a long, long time, quote unquote, forever, so to speak, right? Yeah. From time you get that thing till when you die. But with digital, you would imagine that, hey, originally it's like, hey, this is this cool thing where it's mine and I'm going to own the serial code to whatever it is and I'll be able to download it whenever. And then you come to find out that, you know, these files are stored on computers and these computers need to be turned on and stayed on or wherever it might be, wherever they might be stored in the clouds or whatever. But you need to build an infrastructure to host all of that. And, you know, as we saw with Sony PlayStation or Sony taking down those movies from the Sony store and then putting them back up again, the stay of execution that we talked about, there's obviously a It all boils down to money. It's obvious that for a lot of these larger companies, it's just a lot cheaper to just take all this stuff offline, right? And then just charge you per serving whenever you want to stream it, as opposed to you owning it. So it does suck, especially if you bought something digitally. You know, like I remember I used to buy, when I bought Blu-rays, it would come with like a little sticker inside and it'd say, hey, you get a free digital download. You can download it to your computer or whatever it might be. You can have it for as long as whenever. But apparently not. These things all have expiry dates on it. We've seen it in the video game world too, where things are being removed from the store, sometimes without an explanation. But I don't know. Those are just some examples. But yeah, it sucks. Yeah, here Crunchyroll buys Funimation. And Funimation, I believe, had some kind of a tier where you could buy some of these movies and television shows. And now with the acquisition of Funimation, it looks like these things are coming offline fairly soon as well, April 2nd.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this always goes back to the physical versus digital stuff. And I think, I don't know, based on things like this, and other things that have been happening lately, I feel like people are starting to maybe double think the digital stuff. I think people are starting to see that physical is important to have, whether it's movies, video games, even, you know, for music. It's like, you never know when those companies can just be like, you know what, we don't feel like doing this anymore. And then they just pluck the content away. Like, you know, these anime lovers, man, they're hardcore, and they probably buy every episode. And these are like series that have gone on forever. One Piece is still not ending. One Piece has like 1,000 episodes, I heard. It's like, it's crazy. I'm a Dragon Ball fan. I love my Dragon Ball stuff. I've seen every episode of everything. It's a long investment. And if I didn't buy those on DVD or Blu-ray or whatever, and instead be digital, I'd be screwed right now. I'd be out literally hundreds of dollars. Like, it would, it affects a majority of people that are into this stuff. So, you know, I am always going to be one for physical media. I think it's important. I think that it should not go away. I think it's nice to have the choice. Like you're saying, those slips that would be in the Blu-ray cases, you know, you could download it on iTunes or whatever to have the movie there as well. That's a nice touch. That's great. Like, and I'll always welcome that. And yeah, if it's more convenient, I'm probably going to watch it that way. But I think you need to have both. I think you need to have the choice. And it's because of things like this that the choice matters, because, you know, other than that, you're just kind of, you're not going to win these fights. You're screwed. There's nothing these people can do to get their stuff back until, you know, Funimation or Crunchyroll decides if that's even a thing. So yeah, again, the long battle of physical versus digital continues, and this is definitely a point for physical, if I ever saw it. Yeah, but we'll see what happens with that. That's crazy.
To add insult to injury, the membership price of Crunchyroll is going up almost 100%, from $54.99 a year to $99.99 a year.
Holy fuck.
That's US.
Holy shit, dude.
I mean, that's crazy.
Having their cake and eating it too.
Yeah, and that was a $2 billion deal, man. Or wait, 1.2 or 2 billion? $1.2 billion deal, which is crazy.
That's a lot of money, man.
And that went down at the end of 2021. So, I mean, yeah, it's been a couple of years and change, but yeah, that's what happens. And now they've raised the price, which is sort of a slap in the face, but which is too bad, because I'd always heard good things about Crunchyroll.
Me too. And I'm not going to lie, not too long ago, I almost signed up just to have that that convenience factor of watching stuff, but good thing I didn't.
Yeah.
Crazy. All right. And number three, with seemingly only a matter of time before Xbox games are available on PlayStation Network, how excited are you guys? And are there any games in particular you're looking forward to playing? Follow up to that is this a good thing in the long run? Our boy Turbo Man 44. Oh, damn. Yeah, it was a crazy week for Xbox. Everyone's all mad. Anyone who's an Xbox fanboy is all upset. This is some crazy, crazy times that we're living in, because this is like when Sega went third party. It's like, now there's a question of, is Xbox doing this? Man, you know, I never saw Xbox until a couple of years ago as a competitor when it came to its games. I thought they just wanted services, even consoles to an extent, but like, it's like, no, they want their games on other platforms. It seems like that's where they're going. I know this Thursday we're having some kind of Xbox event where they're going to talk about their future plans to quell the fires over here, because people are going nuts. Look, I think if I'm Xbox, to where they've already admitted that they lost the console war in terms of like the hardware itself, like they just can't sell boxes like the other two. Then yeah, bank in with your Game Pass and bank in with making games for other consoles. If you're gonna get money anyway, then it shouldn't really matter where the games are going. I think the more important thing is you're making the games and they're going somewhere to where you can make a profit. I don't think it necessarily has to be on your own box. So if they go to PlayStation, if they go to Nintendo and anything else, I mean, I personally don't see a problem with it. If my only console was Xbox, I still don't see a problem with it because it's not like the games aren't coming to Xbox anymore. They're still on Xbox. So it's just, you know, Xbox doesn't have the IPs that can sell their consoles. That's my thing with it. Like, I don't see anything that's like that they put out where it's like, I need to get an Xbox to play this game. Like, I don't see anything like that. So them dispersing their games can reach a wider audience and maybe people will see more value in it rather than like hoping that it grabs them from a trailer. And then maybe, just maybe, they can buy an Xbox. But I guess until then, we won't really know what their plan is going forward. But it seems to all be but confirmed that yes, PlayStation and Nintendo are getting some kind of Xbox games. I keep hearing Hi-Fi Rush, that rhythm beat-em-up game that looks really cool. It's like animated. That apparently might pop up in a Nintendo Direct. I don't know. That's what I hear. So it's an interesting time. What do you think?
It'd be great to have like Halo on there or Gears of War. I love that on the PlayStation. I think it'd be a fun to have a lot of these games. Mm-hmm. I'm not an Xbox guy, so for me, it'd be exciting to have like a whole slew, you know, library of games come in, just like an influx of games onto the service. So yeah, it is too bad. I don't know. I want to make fun of the Xbox fanboys. I think they have a right to be upset. You know, at the end of the day, their brand that they chose convinced them to purchase that hardware. And now, you know, they're sitting over that hardware in a era of gaming or an age of gaming where they're losing out to Nintendo and Sony. And so, you know, it's kind of like you're sitting there watching your favorite team in dead last place and they have no choice but to give up like the star captain, you know, in order to get some cash and maybe hope for a better season where they're able to buy some better players. So I do feel bad about that a little bit for sure. That would be like, hey, Sony got some of this heat too when they stopped being so anal about the Sony exclusives. Remember that when they started then doing, okay, PC, it's an exclusive, but it'll be an exclusive for like 90 days or whatever. I believe Final Fantasy VII Remake, this is one of the major ones where it was kind of like, it'll be exclusive for like a certain amount of time and then it'll go over to the PC or whatever, right?
Yeah, it was like 2 years or something.
Right, yeah. Right. And the hardcores were like, no, my girlfriend, you know.
Even Rebirth is only up until May is exclusive to PS5.
Yeah.
It's not a long turnaround.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a little bit about that. I think it'd be exciting for PlayStation owners to be able to, you know, have all these different games added to them. At the end of the day, and we've discussed this already, we are entering a very strange era of gaming where, you know, it's now going to be like you had discussed, it might be the end of the consoles period, you know, or what we perceive to be a console. It's all going to be a computer or some kind of gimmick you strap to your head, or, you know, something that you can literally like stream off your cell phone. But like I said, a lot of these ideas, they're being withheld by the boundaries of the technology right now. The Wi-Fi isn't where it needs to be. Some of this infrastructure is still fairly expensive. So it means when you mass market a product, the higher, the more the thing costs that you're putting into these consoles to run these games, if it's more and more expensive, it makes it harder and harder to sell those consoles at a consumer, you know, price average where it is affordable to, you know, the median consumer or a little bit higher, right? So there's a little bit of that. The bad side to this is, you know, and this isn't, you know, what's happened, but I think we'll know after Thursday, but the gloom and doom is that if this is the end of the Xbox, for example, and it's just going to be, you know, sort of PC, PlayStation, and Nintendo going forward, it's a dark day because that really does close a lot of doors. And it gives more power to the other two console dealers to have sort of more of a grip, more of a monopoly. You know what I'm saying? And then you might start seeing crazy things. Like in 3 years, all games, we're just paying $120 per pop. Like that's just the norm, you know? Because it's either you play it on the PlayStation or you don't, or you get it on the Nintendo or you don't, you know? Nintendo with their, you know, fourth rendition of Luigi's Mansion, but you get it. So yeah, it sucks. It really sucks for the Xbox owner, but it, like I said, it's an interesting time. There's a lot of speculation, and I think we're going to find out more. In my opinion, I think we'll probably see another Xbox of some kind. What that Xbox looks like, what infrastructure it has, if it's a physical medium or some kind of a little gimmick, or if it's a streaming service, you know, remains to be seen. But we're in some crazy, crazy times. And I'd never thought I'd see these Xbox games come over to the PlayStation. You know, this is kind of like WCW showing up on WWE TV during the invasion.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. Next thing you know, there's DDP, who's been like a WCW guy, Goldberg, Sting, all these guys, right? Yeah. So
Stephanie McMahon's the new owner of ECW. I mean, a couple of things that I'll touch on that you said. I disagree with the feeling bad for Xbox people. You shouldn't feel bad at all, because these companies are not here to please you or be your friend. For example...
No, I feel bad for the fans.
But there's nothing to feel bad about, because let's just say this was Nintendo. I'm a diehard... I hate saying it. Let's just say I'm a Nintendo fan, but I don't believe I am. But here's where I'm going with this. If Nintendo was in this spot where they were like, shit, we're going to put our games on other places because whatever the hell is happening, that we need to do this. If they threw a Legend of Zelda on PlayStation, do you know how fast I'm grabbing it on PlayStation?
You're assuming that these Xbox people own the PlayStation 5 already, in your example. I'm assuming in my example that they chose an Xbox over a PlayStation. It's easy for you. You own every console, right? But imagine you only had the money for either a Nintendo or a PlayStation, and you chose the Nintendo because it's got Breath of the Wild.
Right.
Meanwhile, PlayStation starts crushing it. They start releasing all these different, you know, console exclusives, yada, yada, and this and that. And you're like, fuck, I'm really missing out on all these console exclusives. But anyway, I like my Nintendo. And all of a sudden, the one game that made you choose the Nintendo is not going to the Xbox. You'd have to feel a little bit pissed off, right?
I don't know. I don't really see it that way.
Yeah.
I just don't see it that way, because it's like, I got what I wanted regardless. Like, if I got a Nintendo to play Zelda, at the end of the day, I still have a Nintendo to play Zelda. It's different if they have a Zelda that's not on Nintendo. That's different. But if they have the same game but somewhere else and it runs a little better, what, you see it now with, you know, Switch versions and PlayStation versions and all that. Like, obviously, I'm at a place where I can get the better version that I want, and I understand. But people that don't have anything else but a Switch, they get the butchered, you know, Mortal Kombat or whatever. And I understand that 100%. That sucks. But my point is, like, if I own an Xbox and these games are going elsewhere, that doesn't really affect me, because I still have the games. I can still play the games. I don't really care about anything else. If I got an Xbox, that means I don't care about Nintendo shit. That means I don't care about PlayStation shit. I care about Xbox shit. So Xbox stuff going somewhere else doesn't really, shouldn't affect me. I still got what I wanted. So I don't
know.
I guess
it's not a jealousy thing. I'm saying you start feeling bad for the team. Your team Xbox, right? Your team Nintendo. And so when you start seeing stuff like that, you start losing confidence in the brand, right? And that's what I mean. Like, this dissension of the Xbox fans, it could result in, you know, sales flatlining, and they won't come back for the next one, right? Because they'll be like, there's no point in me getting the next Xbox, right? So that's why I kind of feel bad for them, because it's kind of like you're seeing your team lose. You know, you're seeing your team lose. If Sony was getting their ass kicked, then all of a sudden I start seeing, like, Uncharted is coming to Xbox. You know, for a while it was like a Metal Gear was exclusive to Sony, right? Stuff like that. It's not from a jealousy thing, like, oh, you know, they're playing what I'm playing. It's not that. It's more like, fuck, like, wow, you know what I mean? Like, I'm on the losing team here, you know? So it's kind of like, damn. Like, they thought you know, they thought they were making a comeback. Early this console season, the Xbox was doing okay, right?
Yeah, remember, they
had a lot of good
dogs.
Yeah, and Sony made some fumbles. Like, when Sony raised their price on the monthly services after they sort of did like a relaunch of them a little bit with the presentation and everything, you're going to have three tiers and demos and all that bullshit. Sony fumbled their way through that, but it was a little bit of a misstep. And during that time, I remember Xbox Game Pass was like the biggest baby face because people were like, wow, the value you get.
Yeah.
And they were dropping brand new games on this thing, right? So I was like, oh, shit. As a PlayStation fan, real life example, I was like, damn, I'm kind of jealous about that. I'm kind of jealous of a Game Pass and I'm kind of jealous about these games dropping, blah, blah. When at the time, dude, at the time, all we had were like two, three freebie games coming up per month. That's it. And then they went under the hood. They changed things up. They came back with the three tiers, priced a little bit out of what most consumers were willing to pay. I think the price of some of those tiers, you know, came out really expensive. But now we're talking. Now we have like these different tiers on the PlayStation that have like 15, 20 games. We're like, okay, this is great. You know, yeah, sure, the game cycle in and out, but like it's totally fine. And it does cater to sort of the hardcore that plays a lot of games quickly. And also the casual that will not mind, you know, if in 3 months the, you know, whatever, the Dead Space game that he's only an hour into decides to fuck off the service for a little while before it comes back again, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it is too bad. I don't want to see Microsoft Xbox go anywhere. I think they will release at least one other system. You know, I'm hoping it won't be the end of the console wars. I really do enjoy having consoles. I think there's, but that's mostly a nostalgic thing, less of a practical thing, right? But like I said, until the technology is there and until we really figure out what owning something digitally means, you know, you're holding on to your stuff, right? Like I love the digital PlayStation 3 collection, the one that's they're slowly building on the service, but it's still not that reliable. And so until then, you got to kind of hold on to your PlayStation 3 discs. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we know Xbox has one more console coming at least, that that leaked Amazon looking thing.
the Miu handheld?
The Alexa Home or something, that cylinder. Mm. So that's coming at some point.
Okay.
Other than that, I don't know. The if you ask me your second part here, Turbo Man, what games I'm looking forward to if that happens. Hi-Fi Rush has always been one that I liked to see. I'd like to try that. So if Hi-Fi Rush comes over, I'll definitely try that. If they ever make a new Banjo-Kazooie, which I don't know if that'll ever happen, but if they do, that'd be sick to get on a Nintendo system. And honestly, that's it. I feel like that might actually be it. Maybe I'll try Starfield, but other than that, I'm not an Xbox guy, really. Every time I had an Xbox, I was deep in third-party games that I could have got on PlayStation. Yeah, and is it a good thing in the long run? No, because like you said, Chris, Xbox going away means, like, not only is it the end of quote-unquote console wars, but, like, just creativity in general and, like, pushing the other, you know, competition is good. So once that's out, yeah, like you said, you're giving power to the other two and they could probably rest on their laurels a little bit. Yeah, like you said, we'll be paying $120 a game. Like, it's not a good future if Xbox doesn't continue with their consoles. So I'm also hoping that they pull through this just for the sake of, like, some good, healthy competition in the industry, I guess. But yeah, I think that's it. Thank you guys for writing in to the mailbag. Again, you can do that at podcastfresh2020@gmail.com. We'll see you guys next week. Let's talk about what we've been watching, at least what I've been watching. Have you been watching anything, Christopher?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I'll just go over this quick then. I just wrapped up watching Wu-Tang, An American Saga. This is a kind of like a biopic, like Straight Outta Compton, All Eyes on Me, like those movies about, you know, artists. In this case, it's a 3-season show, 10 episodes each, and it's about the Wu-Tang Clan. And honestly, it was really, really good. I honestly liked it so much. I might watch this again later on when it's not so fresh in my mind. I honestly really enjoyed it. You see the beginnings of like how these guys like were complete strangers to each other and how they came together because they had one mutual friend that decided that, you know, music was his way out of the hood. And this mutual, like these some of these guys wanted to kill each other. They were from different hoods and different gangs, and he got them all together because he was the one mutual guy and got them in a studio because they all like rapped just for fun. Like they would spit bars on the side, and then like, you know, he managed to like get them to be more than they thought they could be. So it was honestly really cool. I'm a cat. I was a Now I think I'm pretty hardcore because ever since I saw their show, I can't stop listening to their music, even like individually. Like I've gotten their albums individually. I listen to all of them. Like I am honestly on an East Coast rap kick right now, which is something I thought I'd never say because I was always more of a West Coast guy. But before the hand, I liked Wu-Tang, but I was very casual. I was like, yeah, I know their hits. I know some of their like, you know, lower classics just because like that first album is so iconic to me. And it always was, even when I was a casual. But after this show, man, I appreciate them on such a higher level. It's actually ridiculous. So yeah, if you like that music, if you like that era of rap music and like or are a fan of Wu-Tang Clan, you need to watch this because it's honestly amazing. By the third season, it's like they're starting to really get artsy-fartsy with it sometimes. There's three episodes in particular that's like allegorical where it's like not really... It's not, it's more of like giving the actor something else to do for an episode, which is funny. It's kind of like, you know, they get placed in a, like, how did you come up with the theme of this album? And then it might be a mafia episode, right? Like stuff like that happens. But for the most part, they stay on track and keep the story going. And by the end of the show, I was like, wow, this was actually phenomenal. The actors all look the part. They all rap as well. Like it seemed like they all rap. Three castings in particular, I'll say. Dave East as Method Man, it was really good because of his voice. Shameik Moore as Raekwon, he has a distinct voice, but I was like, where do I know this guy from? He voices Miles Morales in the Into the Spider-Verse movies.
Oh, cool.
I was like, this is where I know this guy from. It's just funny, like, seeing him, you know, be a gangster now. There's that, and then, what was the third one? Oh, man, the guy they got for Old Dirty Bastard, because Old Dirty Bastard was a eccentric, out-there personality. Like, right. He was ridiculous. This kid nailed it. Like, I don't think you could find a better actor to play Old Dirty Bastard. So, really happy with the show. I give it a 10 out of 10. I honestly liked it that much. Chris, if you're interested, I put up the trailer for you. And I also put up a clip of them recording Seventh Chamber, which is one of my favorite Wu-Tang songs.
Hey, yo, Shotgun. You got knives.
Yo, I'm about to kill all you motherfuckers, son. Word. I be that insane nigga from the psycho ward. I'm on the trigger. Plus I got the Wu-Tang sword. So how you figure that you could even fuck with mine? Pull a foul. Niggas say the beef for the cow. I'm milking this hoe. This is my show to cow. The fuck you wanna do for this mic piece, dude? I'm like a sniper. Hype off the ginseng root. PLO style. Boo the monks with the owls. Now who's the fucking man? Meth the cow.
Check that motherfucker. Check that.
Champion gear that I rock, you get your boots knocked, then attack you like a pit, then lock shit down. As I come and freaks the sound, hardcore, but giving you more and more, like ding. Nah, shorty, get you open like six packs, killer bees attack, flipping wet, murder on fat tracks, I kick it like a night clock, word life, I get that ass robbed on spike. Check the method for bedrock, cause I rock your head to bet, just like rocking what, twin clocks. Shake the ground with my beats, just break it down. Raw sound, going to war right now. Where you're bombing, we usually take all niggas' garments. Save your breath before I bomb it.
Cool, so, yeah, I might check that out.
It's really cool.
Seems like a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. And really do cool. Do any of the Wu-Tang members make cameos?
No.
Yeah, that'd be funny if they did, though. Eh? Like, just Method Man is there as, like, the baker or...
I think I'd be pissed. I don't like that.
No, I'm just fucking like around.
Fucking Method Man's over there.
And do they use all the Wu-Tang music, right?
Yeah. Everything is...
That's sick.
Everything's original. It's produced. It's directed by the RZA. And
right.
The Wu-Tang members are listed as... for some reason, Method Man is executive consultant, but the other ones are just consultants. So, yeah, no, really good show, man. I was really surprised by it.
That's cool, yeah. And it's been up for a few years now, huh?
Yeah, I think it wrapped up last year. I caught on to it now. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So it's three seasons long and that's it?
Three seasons and that's it. And I'd say
it
ends pretty good. It ends it ends where you'd want it to end, I think. If you're a Wu-Tang fan, I think
the
ending is a suitable ending.
Yeah.
That's very awesome. Very good show. I was very surprised.
High recommendation from Ryan, so check that one out.
Even the wife was like bothering me to watch it every night, and she couldn't give two shits about Wu-Tang.
Not the wife.
That's how good Wu-Tang is. When that happens, you know it's good.
Right. Or she was just bored.
No, she was like, I need to know what happens. Like, because it's not just a music show. There's like a bunch of like gang activity and all that stuff. So, yeah, it was really good.
That's awesome. I'm going to check that out.
Do it, please. You could find it on Disney Plus or Hulu, from what I know. So there's that. All right, let's talk about some things we picked up. I'll go first. I picked up a game, finally. I actually bought this a while ago, but it just came to my door. Because I don't think you can get a physical copy in like normal places. But I bought a game called Arcade Paradise. This game is an interesting one. The moment I laid eyes on it, I was like, I don't know what it is, but I'm in. You basically run a laundromat. So you do things like you pick up clothes, you put them in the washer, the dryer, you clean up the place, pluck gum from, you know, machines. What else do you do? You just pick up trash, you empty the trash in the back, and you do this cycle, and then you get an alert like, oh, the washer's done, I gotta switch it to the dryer. So you do that, but in the back of your laundromat, you have like three arcade machines that are there. And you could play these arcade games, and they are like homages to actual arcade games. Like, they are very well done. So you do that. Then you get money from the laundromat to buy more arcade machines. And then you start expanding your laundromat into an arcade in the back. And then I think it just becomes an arcade. I don't know. I haven't really like delved into it too much yet. You also got to make sure the toilet's not clogged, so that's funny. But yeah, I think this place takes place in like the early 90s or the late 90s, so it's definitely a timepiece. And I don't know, I just like the idea so much, so I finally got it. I dabbled with it. The only thing is, it is first person, but because I don't have that like pressure to like shoot things, or like you're gonna die and you're kind of just doing this at your own leisurely pace, first person doesn't really bother me. So yeah, and then there's times where you'll go on your computer in the back in your little office, and you're texting, you're messaging your dad on like MSN, because your dad put you in charge of this wash because he doesn't think you have any future. So he's like, I gotta help you out. And he talks down to you. He's such an asshole. But I couldn't believe like how well this works. Like, the premise sounds horrendous. But it
sounds
actually
really wacky. Yeah,
it does, but it actually works very well. I played for about an hour. That's why I didn't want to talk about it, because I haven't really sunk that much time. But I did two time loops, 2 days went by, where I cleaned the machines, did the laundry, and then I played a little bit in the back and whatever. And honestly, it's a very addicting thing to keep doing and checking in on. It's kind of like got an Animal Crossing effect almost. Like, I was very surprised by it.
Right. And you get to play these arcades in the back of the laundromat.
Yeah. So that's the whole grip too, is like you'll order a new machine and then you'll start the next day. The machine gets ordered. You could try it out. Right. It's really cool. Then people play during the day. At the end of the day, you go and collect the money that the arcade machine made. It's a lot of fun.
It's almost like a laundry arcade sim with mini games.
It's a sim, yeah.
That's wild.
Really, yeah. Enjoy it.
How'd you hear about that? Just on an indie special?
They talked it on GameScoop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I heard on GameScoop not too long
ago. Arcade Paradise.
So I checked it out. That's cool. And then, yeah, pulled the trigger on it.
I like that.
I think online you could probably get it for cheap. But I ended up paying like $40 for a physical.
Yeah. That's awesome. You're going to see it through?
Yeah, until Final Fantasy Rebirth comes out, I'll probably see it through.
Yeah. February 9th. 29th.
29th. And 21st is the second part of the demo.
Yeah, that's right.
So that'll be exciting. That too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Dude, just quick side note. I went and played it again to see if I could get better on that fucking piano game.
Yeah. And how'd you do on the piano game?
My B turned into an A, but I still can't get perfect. It's so hard.
Yeah.
You really got to hit everything.
Fuck. That's cool, yeah. Can you unlock other songs or just Tifa's song?
Just in the demo, I think it's just Tifa's song. But you know...
But it looks like you can collect tokens to buy more music.
Well, there's a sheet music that you collect,
so throughout the game.
I think that's what it is. And then there was a part in the trailer. I watched the trailer again. Tifa's playing the piano with people playing violins around her.
Cool.
And I'm like, okay, this is going to be more involved.
She forms her own band.
She's got her own band.
That's badass. I like that.
The orchestra.
That game is going to be awesome. Is that the first two-disc game on the PlayStation 5?
Yeah, it might be, huh?
Going to be better.
Damn.
Yeah, that's wild.
145 gigs for that bitch.
Damn, I'm going to have to delete half my shit.
I already deleted. I always have Remake. I'm like, yeah, this is where you go.
I always have Remake on there. I like
always
that.
Got Remake on there.
That's cool.
Yeah. What did you get? You picked up some stuff.
I picked up Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII Reunion.
Hell yeah.
Just off of that demo of Rebirth, I was just like, oh man, I'm marking now, bro.
I'm all in.
Like Matt Stryker in that Royal Rumble where he was going crazy. Who is he going crazy about? I think Booker T. He was going nuts at Booker T. He was coming down to the ring. So I haven't started that, so there's not much to say, but that is the PSP game, right, originally?
PSP game, yep.
And they gave it the old, I guess, not really a remaster, right? But they kind of upgraded the graphics and everything.
I like to call it a remakester, where it's it's not a remake from the ground up, but it's remastered so hard that it looks like it could be, you know?
Right. And I guess this new one would be a Rebirthster. So yeah, I haven't popped that one in yet, but I will soon because I'm playing Resident Evil 7 right now. That's consuming a little bit of my time. I just got into it 2-3 hours, but that one's been really fun. I'm really enjoying it. I like everything about it. And you know, because like, I think I was telling you, after the first level in Resident Evil 6, I killed like hundreds of zombies, or at least 100 zombies, whatever it might be.
Yeah,
I'm 3 hours into this thing. I haven't killed anybody. So it is strictly a survival horror game right now. And it's awesome. It's great. It's filling everything that I needed from 6. It's giving it to me now, right? So it's all you can hope for.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's more fun to be scared, I guess, in those games than actually... you know, feel kind of powerful. I think the whole point is to make you feel like, you know, you're powerless. Like you're fucking, you better run away.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. Sets a great mood. No music yet. You know, some of these Resident Evil games have music in the hallways and things like that. But this one's completely, and it's scary too. Yeah. It's scary.
Damn, it's only 9.5 hours.
Yeah, it's short. Wow. And I challenged myself to play with my surround sound headphones on.
Good luck with that.
So, and there are jump scares, man. There are jump scares. So, we'll be dipping back into that later today. What was that, Ryan?
You couldn't pay me to do that.
This one's scary. I will say that. One is scary.
Fuck that.
Like, sometimes I think about like the Ryan scale, right? Which is pretty mild, right? But I'm like, how would Ryan? I'm like, no. This is not going to work.
What was, it was recently I played something that was like, there's like a scary part in it. And I was like, okay, this is kind of, what was it? I think we spoke about it last week. But I was just like, okay, this spooky part came out of nowhere. And I'm like, a little tense, but you know what? Overall, it was okay. But I don't remember what game it was.
Oh, the Harry Potter game.
No. We talked about it very recently. And you know about it too.
Okay.
Anyway, whatever. Let's move on.
Right. Yeah, these random games where sometimes you're like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that.
It's like Uncharted, the first Uncharted, where like everything is just, I'm shooting these gang guys. And then at the end, there's like these fucking symbiote looking things that are after
me. Still don't remember these symbiotes, but it's also been many years.
Yeah. But I'm just like, I don't like this game anymore.
Fuck this. This game ruined my mood.
This game took That's a tremendous. Left turn.
Yeah. So I'm enjoying that. And then the other pickup that I picked up was Duke Nukem 3D, the 20th anniversary world tour.
Wow.
This game is always $25-$30. I finally saw it for like $2.89. I'm like, that's an automatic buy. And this is I believe the original game came out on the N64. I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, I was about to ask. I think that is where it came
out. And it was and PC as well. But this one's got a bunch of goodies. Like it's got some extra levels. It's got remastered music and a bunch of other little things like that. Like the hardcores will really enjoy. But for me, it's just a good time to... you know, just see what 3D Realms was up to during that time and see it give a new life, right? So pick that one up. So between that one and Crisis Core, one of those two I'll play next. Duke Nukem is not really a terribly long game, but more probably just like a fun play for a couple hours and then put it down kind of thing. A palate cleanser, so to speak.
Yeah, I would treat it like original game or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Before we go, let me tell you about a little experience I had. I went to Sunrise Records.
Yeah.
Near me, 10-minute drive in a mall. Because I recently got back into... I got like a vinyl kick again because I finally took my old vinyl out of storage over here. And
nice.
I was looking at my stuff. I sold some stuff that I didn't really care for anymore. Got that money, took it to the store. I was like, okay, I'm going to invest in vinyls again. I got...
invest.
I got three albums. I got... okay, so because of my Wu-Tang kick, I got Enter the 36 Chambers on
nice.
Vinyl. I thought I had it, but I actually have it in CD mode, not vinyl mode. So there's that. I picked up Public Enemy's Fear of a Black Planet.
Nice.
And then I saw the Rocky OST that I didn't even think would be a thing, but I was like, you know, I gotta get the Rocky OST. Get home. Everything's working. I open the Rocky OST last, and I see the worst thing that you could see when you buy a vinyl. You know how the vinyls have the sticker in the middle where it shows like the songs and stuff, like what's in it?
Yeah.
That same sticker plastered on the vinyl on the side.
Just oh,
on
no.
top,
what?
On top of the black part.
Right.
I'm like, what is this? Is this normal? I like try to like pick at it, and I peel a little bit off because I'm hoping I could just get it off, and it leaves like the you know the residue when it rips. I'm like, what in the hell is
this? What kind of monkey put a sticker there?
Who did this? I was so mad. I was like, God, because that was the only one they had. So I know I'm not going to get a replacement. So I'm just going to get my money back. So that sucked. I've never seen that in my damn life. So whatever, I put the thing back. Now I'm like really I actually put the other vinyls into the record player to make sure they work because I'm mad. And then whatever. The next day I went back to Sunrise Records and I was like, okay, I bought this from you guys. I would like either a replacement or give me my money back or something. I take it out, I show her, and she's like, oh my God. Like she was definitely, the reaction right. was like mine. Here's the thing. She's like, well, our system's down, so we can't do any returns. I'm like, well, this is just dandy, isn't it? She's like, let me write my name on the receipt or whatever. You got
not dandy.
You got to come back when the system's up. So now I got to call at some point to ask when their system's up, because apparently it's been down for a long time. When I bought the vinyls, it was down, but I didn't even think about it because it's like, whatever, I'm buying the vinyls, I gave you money.
Sure, yeah, exactly.
But
yeah.
Because the system's down, they can't do refunds. So I'm like,
right.
Okay, so the system's been down for 2 weeks now? That is great. So now, at some point, whenever I feel like it, I guess, I got a call ahead of time so I don't just drive there for no reason to make sure their system's working so I can get a refund for the stupid Rocky vinyl that has a sticker on the black part.
I hate those damn stickers.
Like, are you serious,
man? And I hate dealing with them. I hate looking at them, you know? Even when I sell games, like on eBay or whatever, I will put in the description, you know, this has sticker residue. There's some sticker here. It was there, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can just wipe it up. Even Lysol will break it down, right? If you just use a soft cloth and some Lysol. Or you can use Goo Gun if you want to be fancy.
Goo Gun.
Goo Gun.
Goo Gun.
What a name, eh? Goo Gun?
Yeah, as a skateboarder, that was my best friend to put my shoes back together.
Goo Gun. Yeah.
Goo Gun.
So yeah, those labels are killer, man. And she didn't think for 1 second that you put that label there, eh?
No, because it was literally like the same label that was in the middle. So it's like, she felt bad. Like, it's not their fault because all they do is shrink wrap the stuff. But like, it was just funny because she was like, that is unacceptable. I'm like, yeah, it's not. It is.
Yeah, damn right.
You're damn right. It's unacceptable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway, that's too bad.
That sucked. That's a bad experience.
Yeah. Oh, you bought all these secondhand?
No, they're brand new, man. Shrink.
Oh, okay. But after that happened, you started testing all of them to make sure that they worked.
Yeah, because I'm just like that. Like I don't trust it till I hear it. But
yeah,
that sucked. Now I got to deal with that at some point.
Yeah, it's all right. It's a first world problem.
Yeah, it is.
Just, we're getting snow in a couple days. That's another our world problem.
You are. I already got snow yesterday. I had to fucking get it off my car.
Oh, no.
Yep.
We got some flurries this morning, but that was about it.
Yeah, I got a little bit on my way to work, and then it kind of stopped. But during the night, it snowed. I had to actually wipe my car down. I was like, damn, I thought we were done with this.
Yeah, it was cold today, but whatever.
It was, yeah.
So, yeah, what else is going on? Is that all you're playing right now, all you're watching?
Well, I'm not watching anything right now because I finished the Wu-Tang show, so now it's kind of like whatever.
That's cool. I'm going to check out that Wu-Tang show. It sounds fun.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
I think I'm going to play the Arcade Paradise game now. And yeah, we'll see. It's on the Switch, which is good. I've been neglecting the Switch for a while because everything I've been playing has been on PS5.
So neglecting.
It'll feel nice to pick it up a little bit.
Right.
And actually play it.
Man. If I get into any sticky spots in Resident Evil 7, Biohazard, I'll send you some clips just so you can live vicariously through it.
Fantastic. I've seen people play it in VR. It's like, fuck.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I was thinking there are some points where I'm like, oh, man. There's this part where I'm walking with these two guys that are filming, like they go into like haunted houses and stuff, and I'm the filmographer. So I'm third. I'm like last. And we enter this haunted house and it's all dark and we're walking down this hallway. We're walking down the hallway, and I turn around and I see that the door is open from where we came from, right? And I'm like, don't freaking tell me that that door, yup, door slams. I'm like, oh shit. It's good though. It's good. Keeps the blood flowing, I guess.
I wish I could handle it.
Yeah.
But I can't.
That's all right.
That would be the end of me. Just like we are at the end of this episode.
That's right. We're going to wrap it up for another week here on The Cafe. My name is Chris Torres. The other guy on the other side, Ryan Acapello Mello. Just wanted to throw out the plugs. We're at Podcast Fresh on Instagram. We're at official, Torres and Acapello Show on Instagram as well. Ryan is at official _ Acapello. Yeah.
It's been 83 shows. Yep.
He's got... And thank you so much for listening. Go as well onto the Instagram at Podcast Fresh. We're on Facebook and YouTube as well, and on Twitter /X at Podcast Fresh TO. You can send us an email for the mailbag at podcastfresh2020@gmail.com. Check out the rest of the shows. We got The Cafe, which is this one right here, which is a video games, movies, pop culture show. We also have the Torres and Acapello Show, where we discuss pretty much anything and all our random musings, funny stories, et cetera, are on there. And as well, Ryan's got the Gaming Asylum. Sometimes he's got the Gaming Asylum Radio, which I think is the next one that's going to come out.
Yes, sir.
And we have a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air show out soon as well. So we just want to say thank you for the downloads. I am done yapping. Ryan, take us home.
Thank you for finishing your yapping. All right, everybody. I had one more thing to say. What was it? I literally just lost it while you were talking. Anyway, whatever. If it comes to me, I will mention it next week. Hala! Play with your boy Oswaldo. And have a good night, everybody.
Jesus Christ. Podcast Fresh.